Episode 240, April 18th, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Firehall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the Racist Rob and Racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
We record this show on Monday nights, and breaking news for us then, the mom on Everybody Loves Raymond, Doris Roberts, no longer with us.
30 minutes ago, I believe she died.
That's when it was posted. I don't think they tweeted it out.
Here's the last things that she's done, okay?
She's 90, right?
This is all the stuff she did, by the way, in the last 2 years, and I never heard of any of it. But maybe that's what killed her. You can't be 90 just constantly working. You're literally an old lady. You're almost 100 years old.
Yeah.
Here we go. The Red Maple Leaf, Old Soldiers, The Escort, Adam Astra Casting, Job's Daughter, Merry Christmas, The Secret of Joy, La Trattoria Sitcom, No Deposit, The Manager, ZZ and Honey Boy. That's all from the last 2 years. I haven't heard of any of it, clearly, but still.
Maybe she thinks if you stop working, you die.
Madea's Witness Protection in 2012. She was in Desperate Housewives. Grey's Anatomy. Obviously, you know her from Everybody Loves Raymond. That was probably her biggest role. But she was also in Grandma's Boy, Christmas Vacation.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite TV mom, fellas?
Dude, I'm a huge fan of June Cleaver. I thought she was hot, you know, I did. Yeah. I thought she had her stuff together. And that, you talk about underrated shows. I mean, that's one of the greatest television shows of all time.
You know, people don't speak of it that much, but you're right. It is a classic.
It's still funny. And think about this. There was a character on that show that to this day, the name of that character is still just used to describe a type of person. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Eddie Haskell,
yeah, that guy's an Eddie Haskell.
My first girlfriend, her dad used to call me Eddie Haskell because I was.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's rare because, like, you think about, like, if you say, "Oh, that guy's like the Fonz." I can't think of too many.
So that's your favorite TV mom, Robbie? Seems like a question up your alley.
I have to go to Mary Tyler Moore.
She a mom? Does she have a kid?
Yeah, she had a little Richie.
Oh, I forgot about that little brat.
Yeah. Marcus, you with us tonight?
Yeah, Morticia Adams.
Oh, that's a good one. It really is a good one. But you know what, Robbie? I when I think TV moms, I don't think her. Meaning, that isn't a TV mom. I know she was a mom, but you know, that's like saying that Jennifer Aniston is a TV mom. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's not,
why?
You know, who's your favorite TV dad? Ross from Friends. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's a mom is usually in a family. Like Meredith Baxter Burney is a TV mom.
That's my number one because very few I can think of that I didn't really watch a lot of sitcoms or shows with moms. Well, Tony Soprano's mother, loved her.
I know who Robbie's least favorite is. Claire Huxtable.
That's right.
Because Robbie's a known racist. I understand. Welcome to the show. A lot to talk about. Last week, who does Carrie Spiewak like more, myself or Joe Robinson? Now, she hung out with you at the Duran Duran concert last week, and then the Spiewaks came to see me this past Friday night in Leesburg at the Tally Ho, which we're where we're doing our murder mystery at May 6th. And she listens to the show because she messaged me and said, Joe didn't set the bar very high.
Yeah, I saw that. And I'm like, oh, really?
But this is where things didn't go well for me. I had almost no time to talk to them. They weren't, I don't know when they got there, but I went down 15, 10 minutes before the show and I didn't see them. So I think they got there right when the show started. After the show, I got booked to have a pretty good payday for this this show that I'm emceeing, this event in October. And the women that had picked me for this were coming to the show. And so, which was a little nerve-wracking because, you know, the contract isn't signed yet. So if I don't do well, they could back out of this thing.
Right.
They think I suck. But they were, I was talking to them and I was like, I have to schmooze with these ladies.
Did and then you this, tell them that you, that, hey, I'm going to be blue tonight, but I know I need to be clean during your show. Did you say that?
No, but they, I think they knew. They, by the way, they came up into the green room. They just walked in. They were cool and they were a lot of fun. They liked me and it went great. So that's cemented now. But I still wanted to talk to them and then just, you know, schmooze some more. And they were a lot of fun. But I didn't, but the Spiewaks were walking out and I hardly got to talk to them, you know, just in passing, basically. And then, you know, Carrie on Facebook mentions today that, you know, you when you were there, you had Katie there. And Katie makes you look better, as does Tawanda for me. But I didn't have the Tawanda factor. So, you know, maybe you have a chance in this, Joe.
No, I did way better, it sounds like, because you blew them off, which is bad.
I was hilarious, though. I showed my talent where you didn't get.
Yeah, that. But I socialized with them.
That's true.
And then also when I wasn't able to, I had Katie over there doing some of the heavy lifting. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And I did take interest in them, too, because I found out about the Jackson 5.
Well, I wanted to do all that, but I assumed that they would get there earlier and then afterwards.
Well, one, two, schmont, two. You'd lost. I mean, you know,
it's up to her. You know, it's the ball still in her court. But I'm having a feeling that she's going to want more information now. Where it was mine to lose, and I didn't take it. I didn't grab it.
TBD is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I think. That was a good show, though, Italia. It was interesting because, you know, I was feeling the pressure to do well. You know, Spiewaks were there. I had some other people there that I hadn't seen in a while. And plus this group of like 12 from this gala, they were there. And Ramin is the MC and it's his show that he runs. Ramin Mostafavi, good friend of mine. And he has this scar in the back. He's bald. He has a scar in the back of his head. It looks like, you know, Marcellus Wallace, right? And he started to tell people as a joke, but it's real, but he's made it into a joke about why he has that. At 22, he got a hair transplant.
Right.
Which I think is hilarious, right? So he tells his story. A lot of the story is him making fun of himself about it. But then I go up there. This is my opening, the opening of the show. They're all like, yay, because like 30 people there are there to see me. And he gave me a great intro. And I'm like, really? At 22? Friends didn't tell you not to do that? Like, and I just start shitting on them, thinking the crowd is going to like be on my side. And they just sat there. And I was like, fuck, I'm bombing. I'm in it in. I'm eating it. So I quickly pivot into like, oh, let's go for the A material. Because I have already, I'm in a hole.
You dug yourself a hole, right?
Yes. Because I kept waiting for some recognition from them. Like, yeah, 22, who does that? And no, they were like, he just bared his soul to us and he made it funny.
It's funny you say that because that used to be when I not even first started, even like 4 years in, was really what I did, I would just say something so incredibly mean. And I'm like, okay, Joe, you know, because unfortunately that's the real me.
Yeah. Not to jump too much around here, but at the DC Improv show, when we do our murder mystery, it's well documented that you usually don't have the best roles or the funniest roles. So you rarely have a huge role, and nor do I for the most part. But in Newly Dead Game, I have more of a role. But at the very end, you're the one who reads the everyone who got it right, every team, you read their team names, and that's right. how you pick a winner. And then if it's a shitty name, you basically make fun of it, fun of them. I think you were pretty, you were extra dicky the other night.
Really? It's funny you say that because that's, I get such great reception from doing that.
I felt like you went too far. I felt like we had killed and like we couldn't, it couldn't get better in their eyes. But in some people's eyes, you like took shots at their team name and they left feeling like deflated.
Well, yeah. By the way, I always do that. And you're right. I had the audience boo certain names. And you're right. People probably get ultra defensive. But people were coming up to me afterwards going, hey, that was my name. So you're right. That was happening.
Yeah.
And so, but no, but I think they were joking around about it and laughing about it. But some people would come up to me afterwards and I go, hey, do you enjoy the show? And then I endeared myself to them or whatever. But yeah, I don't want to, now you're making me feel like I shouldn't do that, but I love doing that. And I always feel like that's well received. Like that's, I love the end of the night. And I think, cause I've even had people say to me, well, I wish that was longer. You know what I mean? Because it's a very brief thing. Cause all you can do is read the names.
Can I interject?
Yeah.
Yeah.
People do love it, except when you make fun of their name. They take, maybe some people are sensitive, but overall people like that.
No, they do like it. It's just, but the people whose names you shit on, they don't like it. And my point is that all we can do is lose people at that point. We can't gain people.
I understand what you're saying, but I do think people, I know that, but and I'll do, look, I'm not going to fight to make fun of, but what else am I going to do? Okay.
No, I want you to still do that. I just want there to be, you dial it back a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know. Wow. I mean, Robbie, what do you think?
I just said, I don't think it's a problem. I think people embrace that thing Joe does at the end. I think for the most part, they like it.
Okay, but do you think...
And I don't think he lost them that night. You couldn't lose the audience that night. Everybody was with us.
Not the audience, but the team who had a great time and it was the best experience of their life. And then Joe just said they have the shittiest name he's ever heard. And then they leave. That's the last thing that they experience.
Oh, show. God, I love doing it. If you take it away from me, I'm going to be bummed because people when I shit on those names. They love it. Yes, yeah. You're right. The table of four that name got shit on... They don't like it, but I think it pays for itself. And I also think that those people, nobody's saying, God, I had a great time, but I didn't like when that guy made fun of the team name. Now I'm never coming again. If you think that that's happening, yes, I can't do it. But no. God, I just love doing it. I love making fun of the
I think there's a balance. I think you can, let your foot off the gas a little bit on that.
All right.
But I mean, you are good at it. That's the thing. That's your wheelhouse is to shit on people and things.
Yeah, I know. I do love doing it. So,
right.
All right. Yeah, that's. I mean, by the way, that's the least of our problems, right?
No, it was a great show.
Can I say this? There are some people that have been around comedy in this area a long time, and also are very, very bright. Chris White is an example of that. I don't need to kiss Chris White's ass. He can't do anything for me, but I do really respect his opinion, and he complimented our production, and it made me feel better than almost any compliment we've ever gotten. Because I know he's a guy that's seen a lot of comedy and understands comedy. And when he wrote exactly what we try to do, God, it made me feel so good. It really did. So anyway, if he's listening, which I guarantee you he is not, thanks for that. Because that was just, that's something that I'm going to tuck away. That felt really good.
I agree. Chris is, if you saw any of the pictures that we posted, he took all those great pictures from the DC Improv. He works at the Improv. He's married to... Allison, who is one of the owners / managers. Chris is a stand-up himself, very funny. He does the DC Improv podcast. He's a very smart, very in tune in the comedy world guy. So yeah, to have him say that, it did carry weight. So thank you, Chris. And I'm going to go ahead and call it a sellout because 285 is what they hold, and we had 284, but I'm calling that a sellout.
Well, you know what happens is one – and we have a 50-50 chance of landing on 284 or 285. We had a 50-50 chance of that because if it lands on 284, it's hard to sell one ticket. So I guarantee you people are going on there trying to buy two tickets. They can't. They think it's sold out and they're done. That's why we sold 284. Now,
I'm going to blame our friend Michelle. She's Tawanda's best friend. She's an attractive woman. She came by herself, and that's unacceptable. She should have had at least half a ticket.
Yeah, that would have made the difference. Yeah. But the last time we sold 284 as well, a couple was trying to buy the last ticket. So they called the club and he said, all right, yeah, you can do it. So they actually sold 286.
Right.
So if you take the two shows, they add up to an average of 285, which is the max. So we have sold out two shows.
And we will
Let's see how we do in the next show after I acted like a dick at the end. Let's see if we still sell out again.
That's true. August 18th, we're doing the superhero one there. And not official yet, but there's an excellent chance that we will do multiple shows in a row, the Christmas one, the week of Christmas. So obviously that's a long way off, but, you know, just look for that come wintertime. Eric Woodworth, he's, you know, becoming one of the stars of our show. Physical comedy, fat guy, is not afraid to expose himself. And he keeps trying to one-up himself to us. Now, the audience, they have no idea what he's done in the previous shows. But we do. So he's keep trying to top the disgusting things he's doing. And it just keeps getting more foul. Like, he's basically wearing just, like, swimming trunks, like Speedos. And he has a half
skin tight shirt and and skin tight. I mean, yeah, a Speedo, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And he has a half eaten chicken quesadilla in his pants and his by his junk. So he pulls it out. This is on stage. Starts eating it, then takes it, dips it in some of the salsa that's on a customer's table. They just had their chips and salsa, dips it in there, and then eats it. I don't even like to double dip with, like, my girlfriend.
I looked at that when that happened to that table, and they were crying laughing, and so was the audience. Anybody that could see what was happening, was just, I mean, it's almost, he's so likable. I remember when one of the early shows, Eric came out and grabbed a beer off of one of the trays.
Yes.
And I remember everybody was laughing because it was clearly intended for a table.
Right.
That nobody cared except for the waitress. I remember the waitress like, oh, fuck. Like, she had to walk back in and get another beer. But yeah, it was, God, he's so great. Yes.
So for the record, I have no problem with Eric doing that, but Joe has to dial back the...
Right. Eric's fine. He can just keep going until he eventually starts falling, dry humping a client, a customer.
It doesn't seem fair, though. Now, Joe, you said... Now, Allison, who runs the improv, very important person, DC comedy scene, who books, you know, if you want to work there, that's who books you. And you say you can't talk to her.
Yeah, it's weird because Robbie... I saw him back there having a very long conversation. Also, I keep an eye on her to see if she's enjoying the show because that's obviously who needs – is one of the few people in there that they have to like it in order for us to continue to do it. But it's weird because, you know, separate Allison from this. Like, I can talk to anybody. Like, I'm not good at a million things, but I'm really good in a conversation. I'm good at talking to people. I'm good at being interesting. I'm good at finding things to say. But as soon as I talk to Allison, I'm like, she's going to think I'm lobbying. Because a lot of times when people talk, like, people want to get to know Allison because she books them. So there's a lot of people that approach her that are not sincere. Like, let me – and so, you know, you find – I'm sure she's like, well, who's genuine because people want something from me, right? And because I want nothing from her, right, we're already booked and – she has a relationship with you that I believe through that we can get this booked. So I don't want her to feel like I'm, you know, trying to ingratiate myself in some way. I want to book this murder mystery. And I feel myself having that in my head. Like, I don't want her to think that I'm an insincere person. And because of that, it's awkward. You know what I mean? Hey, what's going on? I don't know anybody that I have more difficulty talking to, but it's not nothing to do with her. She's just standing there being pleasant. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, she's very pleasant. It's totally in your head.
No, but there's nothing. What's in my head is real. I really want to make sure that she doesn't see me as somebody who's full of shit. You follow what I'm saying? And I also don't care if I'm booked there as a comic. And you know that I don't. I don't. I wish that I had been. But I'm not, and that's the thing. I don't want her to think that I'm lobbying for anything. So I almost avoid her. And the other thing is, at the beginning, I'm very busy. I mean, super busy at the beginning of the show, so much so that I almost want everybody else to kind of be relaxed and loose, and I kind of try to take all that on so nobody's really it really kind of takes, I want people to relax before the show, the performers. So I take on a whole lot. That's why a lot of times I don't have roles, or I don't have a role that's, you know, a very, very important role, because I take on so much other stuff. So the other thing is, while this is going on, like, I'm being a very, very serious person, which I never am in my normal walks of life. You follow what I'm saying?
So well, I only think she gets that when she sees you walking around. I don't think she expects you to have stop and have some conversation. I think that because you are trying to portray yourself in a certain way or not portray yourself, that's affecting your ability to just have a normal conversation.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know. By the way, I don't even, and I can almost find something to say to anyone. Anyone. But I'm like, hey, who's coming? Who's a headliner next? Like, I would never say that. You know what I mean? It seems like shit. Well, she's like, well, it's on the website. You can look yourself. Right. You know what I mean? I find myself like almost like, all right, I'll just say hi and then run away. But then I'm like, am I being rude?
You need a wingman. It's like a guy who can't talk to a girl that he's hitting on. You need a wingman. You need me.
No, I know, but then you will have a real conversation with her, and I'm just standing there.
No, I'll get you in on it. Again, I'll be your wingman. I'm trying to make you look good. I'll feed you. I'll make sure we bring up things that you can be classic Joe with.
And right.
I'll put you in your best light. It's like when you first went on a date with Katie, who did you have there?
Yeah, no, I had all the people. I think we talked about this on this show 2.5 years ago.
We did.
But I needed to be at my best, be funny, which I was. I needed to have other funny people around me, which I had you and Tawanda. And I also needed to have young people around me. So I brought Erica and James. So, yeah. Pete, you know, I hang out with people that age.
Diverse, black people, white people. Yeah, you look great. I'm
friends with everybody, correct.
Yeah. And look at it now. And now you're not living together.
Do you think I can bring Erica and James and you and Tawanda around Allison?
I think you can. I think that's a horrible idea. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Joe terrified me this past, I guess it was Sunday. Rob and Joe should be right back.
This Mother's Day, surprise mom with something different and delicious. Give her Sherry's Berries, the freshest, juiciest strawberries dipped in the finest ingredients. Choose from over 50 gourmet toppings, all delivered fresh to any home or office for Mother's Day with this special offer. Get a signature box of Sherry's Berries for just $19.99. Order now to double the berries for just $9.99 more. Go to berries.com, click on the mic in the upper right-hand corner and enter code Rob and Joe, or call 888-SWEET-90. Surprise her with something different and delicious for Mother's Day. Shop Sherry's Berries.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Oh, one more thing on the DC Improv Show. It's been talked about a lot that I can't dance. Well, guess who fucked up the dance? Joe Robinson and Justin Schlegel. Suck it.
Yeah, we turned the wrong way.
Which I corrected you in the green room when you were practicing, and you still fucked it up.
I honestly think, by the way, yes, you're right. I did. We did turn the wrong way. But I honestly think that I'm not an apologist, but I almost think that it was either indifference or actually better that it was fucked up. I'm not kidding. I actually think that.
But just for the record, I have never screwed up the dance as much as you did Thursday night.
You know what's funny is then he went to slap and he slapped forward and he hit me in the nuts. Justin did. If there's a video of it, and I believe that Eric Woodworth's brother, Jeremy Woodworth, a very, very strange man.
Yes.
I think there's a video of that dance somewhere, so maybe we can take a peek at that.
I can't wait. All right, so I think the best way to tell this story, Joe, is for you to tell your end of it. First of all, you and Katie and your son came over. You saw the house for the very first time, which is, you know, we've lived here 3 months now, 4 months, it's about time. But just we hadn't. Not your fault. We just hadn't had time and wasn't really looking that great for a while. But Tommy's been here 3 times, so it's good that you finally got to get over
here. Well, that is weird.
It is weird. But you were only here for a half hour. But one of the things we talked about was the bet that you guys made with a former show announcer, Tim. You know, Tim is crazy. We all know that. But he, for some reason, got in his head that, you know, singer, R&B singer Chris Brown would be murdered which is, I guess, is a year ago now, but now by September. So he had a year and a half to get murdered, and I believe there's odds. It's some ridiculous bet that, like, five of you bet the normal side. That, no, he's not going to get murdered.
So, yes, Tim wins a lot of money if he gets murdered.
Right.
He gets 5-1. We only win $25 if Chris Brown is not murdered, but Tim wins $125 if he is.
So it's just a ridiculous bet, but that's Tim for you. So I forget why, but we were talking about that. So you leave. This is, I don't know, 3 o'clock or something. I have to leave for my show in Lorton, Virginia, and I'm leaving around 6:15-ish. Take it from your end now, Joe.
So after we dropped off our son, my son, James, to at work, we went over. Katie wanted to switch her phone plan. She wanted to switch from Verizon to Sprint. It's a good trade-off to make because it's about 1/4 of the cost and then about 1/4 of the coverage. You get to your text go 1/4 of the time. It's about the same.
Right.
Anyway, well, there was a phone, you know, when you look at the sample phones, there was one you could just kind of scroll through the different, you know, apps and somebody's email was on there. And there was like, and I noticed because there was like 100,000 unread emails. Like, I wonder what email this, whose email is this, right? So I take one of the pieces of spam and I put in your email address and I put, I hate you. Now, below the spam is, I mean, below the I hate you is this, you know, come buy this diamond or whatever. You know, it was an ad
it was
for
a
some.
Dental insurance.
There you go. Whatever the hell it was, right? It was some spam, some, you know, some product, some, you know, service, whatever.
Right.
So then I said, hey, this is funny, Katie. I did this, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, well, hold on. Let's send an original email. So because you can create a new email. Go back in. She puts in there, I see you at, okay, I don't want to say the street that you live on, but she says, hey, I see you at this street, the street that you live on. But then I said, put I murdered Chris Brown at the bottom because then he'll know that it's somebody in this group. Obviously, who else the hell would know that this bet had gone on? That was me letting you know, okay, you don't really need to worry. It's one of us.
Okay.
So then, hold on. So then we're out and I get a call from Rob. And then Rob had a different, I guess, view on this email.
Well, take it from my perspective and listen closely to this, Robbie. I get an email from, first of all, the person's name. It looks like a real email address. It's not, and the woman's name is the exact same name of my neighbor. Okay. Well, I don't know her last name. Maybe because could be her email. The subject line says "Look up," and then it says "I'm watching you on blank lane." Also, I murdered Chris Brown. Now I get this email about 20 minutes after it came. I'm in my car, and I look at it. I'm like, that. I don't know exactly when I left, but it feels like it was pretty close to 6:17 p.m. when I got this email. So I'm thinking, I'm walking out. It says sent from my iPhone, so it's a cell phone. Someone is watching me. They say, I'm watching you on your street. Also, I murdered Chris Brown. So I'm thinking they were listening to our conversation. Then I look in my spam, and it says, I hate you.
From the same address.
And I'm like, what the fuck? So I call Tawanda. I'm like, because I'm concerned. And I start telling her. She starts laughing because she hears the Chris Brown. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't think this is funny. Right when I'm leaving, I got that email. Does this look up? They're watching me. Then they reference something that we talked about. I mean, I'm serious. This is scary.
Well, hold on. Was Tawanda laughing because they don't hate her? They hate you.
No, first she thought it was a joke or something because of the Chris Brown.
It was a joke. Are you serious? Right. The dental office hates you. I mean, what are you, retarded? Are you serious?
Are you seriously? No, I'm totally right here, Joe. You get an email when you're leaving that says "look up." How would you know that I left
because
right at that
Chris
exact time?
Chris Brown. I swear.
That means
you.
They were listening. How do you not get this? If someone,
Robbie, I need to know.
If
I need an outsider.
If someone is stalking me, they're going to want to let me know that A, I'm watching you. And they do that by emailing you right when I walk out, and B, that I'm listening to, and they reference a conversation I had earlier. That's exactly
right,
what you would
stalker,
do.
But you said it was your neighbor's. Obviously, your neighbor isn't going to say, hey, it's me. I'm the one stalking you.
I don't know.
Jake
from
next door.
That was
she hates me. How do I know? She knows that I want that Chris. By the way, did you think that the person that sent that murdered Chris Brown? Like, how does that fit into the equation?
I thought they were listening to our conversation.
You act like
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel like it is.
Really?
I mean, by the way, if I thought that it was going to scare you, I probably still would have done it. That's it. You deserve it. But I mean, it seems, yes, I do think it's ridiculous. I do. I mean, seriously, it's an ad for veneers and it says, I hate you. And you're like, oh my God, this person decided to send me spam and let me know they hate me.
Look.
And then the next email has the Chris Brown bet in it.
It seemed like something I should take seriously. I didn't know what to think, but I'm like, this seems like I need to take this seriously.
Well, I'm glad I was the second call.
I called Joe. I wasn't calling to ask if he did this. I was asking for advice.
Well, I'm glad you called me. I wish you'd, but I was worried because like you, I'll just be like, hey, this happened. And we'll be like, oh, okay. But Tawanda, I'm scared of. Like, I don't want to piss off Tawanda. So I was worried. That, by the way, Tawanda, she got it apparently immediately, but you might have scared her, meaning with your paranoia. Right, that's what I'm saying. You're the one who changes. Joe. What's that?
If the email doesn't come right when I'm leaving, then it changes things. But the look up as I'm leaving, that takes it to another level of me.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what you thought had happened. You thought that somebody named Jane, whatever the hell this girl's name was.
I don't know if that's a real email. Somebody can make up an email that looks like
it. I understand that. Listen, I'm just telling you what had to have happened. This person who had the email, even if it was pretend, right? They had to have, you thought they were stalking you. So obviously there's somebody nearby. The way that they get to you is they take a dental service and they forward that to you saying also that they hate you. Then right behind that, they say, hey, look up, I know where you live, and this is a bet that we've made fun of 100 times and just made fun of 4 hours ago. Not even 4 hours ago, 3 hours ago.
Right, but it's also what I would say to someone to let them know I was listening. Because, you know, that was a specific thing we talked about that wasn't like, oh, the house looks nice. It could have been a generic thing. It was specific.
So I feel like it is about as reasonable for you to be scared as it is that Robbie wants a puppet in the murder mystery. No. I feel like they're the same level.
I didn't know what to think of it. But it seemed like I should take this. I should at least consider the idea that there's something bad happening. Robbie,
I'm glad you called me.
Do you see where I'm coming from, Robbie?
Well, I needed to know something important because it seems like you're still mad about it.
Well, I'm not mad. He's acting like I get an email. It says, look up right as I'm walking out and then referencing a conversation we had that I'm just supposed to get immediately that that's a joke.
I think that I would have maybe been in your position, Rob, for like a minute, maybe. And then I would have realized somebody's just fucking with me.
Well, I thought, look, is somebody fucking with me? Probably, but I mean, I have my girls back at the house. I'm on the road now. I'm not going to call her. I'm not going to say, are you okay? I mean, who wouldn't do that?
You thought that this person wants to murder you, not Tawanda. They hate you.
They want you to have nice teeth.
They hate you and they want you
first
to have
of
nice
all,
teeth.
The first email I saw was the one that wasn't in my spam. It was my real email. So I didn't see that I hate you.
Then you dug around for the other stuff.
Then next. So I'm reading this. This is how I'm reading it. Look up, I see you on your street, and I'm referencing a conversation I had earlier. Then next message, I hate you.
And I want your teeth to be nice.
Why did it doesn't? That was obviously in my spam. So it was obviously they just forwarded a spam message. That could have been anything. That doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess it's coming from me. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I need to be in that position. I genuinely think the first thing I would do is I'd say, all right, it's either Tim or Rob. Which one of these guys
Wait a second. Did the neighbor have your email?
Well, anybody can have my email. I just Google Rob Mayer. It comes right up.
It's a lot of work. Anyway, whatever. Okay.
That's how people pay.
You're right. Stalkers do a lot of work. I mean, you look at the work Hinckley did to shoot Reagan. You're right. There's a lot of work involved.
Rob, let me ask something else. Rob, have you had stalkers in the past?
No. Look, it's not like I thought that was a stalker. I thought It would be irresponsible of me not to consider that.
I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt here, trying to figure out what.
Well, no, if he had a stalker before, he would know that's not the formula. So that probably wouldn't be
really thought it was a stalker, I would have turned around. I was sure.
Really? I wouldn't go back to the place where where they're trying to kill me. I was going to go to Leesburg.
See, now you're just being funny. You're right. Yeah, you're. Oh, my kids are there, but no, I don't want. You know, I'm not. I'll just let them hang out with the person that wants to murder.
Did you tell Tawanda to get out of the house?
No, I told her.
Oh, you know what? Bat. God, if I had one more
text
email to send, I would have said I'm in the house, and I would have said that.
Well, I mean, yeah, that would have made me stop and turn around.
No, I wasn't genuinely trying to scare you.
I know you weren't, and it's funny, but when I told this to you in real time, you got what I was saying. And
No.
Apparently a day later, you're acting like it's ridiculous.
No, I didn't get what you were saying, but you're a guy. I was worried about Tawanda because girls react. They're a little bit more emotional, you know, gender. So
I took it more seriously than she did.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that she didn't because, again, you know, Tawanda's not somebody I want to make mad. As soon as I found out she's not mad, then I get to make fun of you.
Well, just for the record, if you were stalking someone and you wanted them to let them know you were listening in and stalking, what would you do differently than what happened?
I don't know. I mean, are you asking me what I would do if I stalked someone? I know what I would do. Here's what I would do. I'd drive by their house.
Rather than saying, identifying what I was wearing, that's exactly what you would do.
I would say, I hate you. No, that's not what stalkers do. Stalkers love people. And then when they don't get what they need, they threaten them. You were never threatened in any of these.
Send them a veneer.
I think that's pretty threatening. I've murdered some. I'm bringing up murder and I hate you and I'm watching.
Yeah, okay, I guess, yeah.
No, I mean, other than saying, I see you on your street wearing that, you know, blue shirt or whatever. That's exactly what you would do. You would say, I see you right when you walk out. I hope you enjoyed the Salisbury steak. And I like your Nikes you're wearing.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you're right.
So Joe Robinson's my stalker. I hope you feel awful.
Well, I don't. Should I feel bad?
No, you shouldn't feel bad. It's not that big of a deal. It was funny. But you're acting like I should have just said, oh, somebody emailed right when I was leaving. Of course, that's totally nothing.
Yeah.
Tony Perkins. I'll be at the Improv this Saturday night for Tony Perkins' podcast taping. I'm going to do a few minutes. Marcus, you will be there, correct?
I will. I'm looking forward to it.
And we're going to hang out. And then, Joe, you're going to come by and hang out?
I'm going to come after, yeah. It's funny because I think there's three tickets left, right?
I'm sure it's sold out by the time people hear this.
But. Yeah, of course. And Mark is like, well, you don't want to support Rob? I'm like, Dick, I've seen Rob 1,000 times. I mean, this isn't his biggest event. I mean, this isn't what I go to support him. 60 people in the green room. I'm not going to do that. Or the lounge, sorry.
And then you're having brunch, Robbie, you and Marcus and your girlfriend.
Yes, we're meeting up for brunch the following day on Sunday.
With a coupon.
Yeah, listen to this. Robbie, Marcus just thought he was doing something nice. But really, Robbie found this as a way to get rid of some coupon that he was given as a gift. Now, Robbie was seriously considering just not doing it at all because... When he got the gift, he's like, this is a chore. I don't want to go downtown to D.C. And now he has this coupon, and Marcus gets to see him because he's like, well, you know, there's no other opportunity for me to get rid of this thing.
What if you go there and you're immediately not liking the service? Do you call an audible? Do you pivot? Do you leave?
We might if I knew someplace else to go, but I probably won't.
You're locked into this meal, Marcus. Yeah.
Tell me about it. This is the worst date brunch. Ever.
Sorry, it's hard to screw up brunch.
Yeah, it's basically just bacon and eggs and, you know, some lunch meat.
And mimosas.
Shrimp. Yeah, mimosas.
Yeah, champagne and orange juice. Can't screw that up. Are you a mimosa guy? Are you a coffee liquor drink? Are you a Bloody Mary guy, Marcus?
Usually just whiskey straight up.
Well, hello there.
Not for brunch.
Sure, why not?
Jesus, I'll have some crepes and some whiskey. Yeah.
So you drink whiskey with your breakfast?
I'm not a big fan of fruit, so I like grapefruit juice because it's sour, but I'm not a fan of mimosas. I don't need that. My wife will down plenty of those. Cure Royale, she does that kind of thing. But for me, no, whiskey straight
up. I'm not saying you have to drink a mimosa. There are Bloody Marys. There's screwdrivers or whatever else they, what are they called? The, there's a one with a number on it, too, that they serve.
Now,
but anyway,
Marcus, you're not suggesting that you prefer whiskey over like just straight up orange juice, are you, for breakfast?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, you'd rather drink whiskey than orange juice.
Yes.
Your normal breakfast, bacon, eggs, some toast, and some whiskey.
Yes.
Well, you're an alcoholic.
Yes, yeah, seriously.
I'm okay with that.
You ever see Leaving Las Vegas where Nicolas Cage is in the shower and he's just downing vodka?
That's Marcus.
Hey, Marcus, have you ever drank in the shower?
You know what? I think I have, actually.
Marcus, what if this place doesn't serve whiskey? Are you going to walk out?
No, I won't go that far. I'll probably...
Are you going to say, what kind of brunch is this?
You don't have whiskey?
I'll probably just stick with some bubbly water of some kind.
What's your preferred whiskey, Marcus?
Right now, I really like 12-year Redbreast. But there's so many, but yeah.
Do you have a whiskey group on, Robbie?
I bet they have whiskey there.
So I know the answer is yes, Marcus. So I want, how many times do you believe you've snuck alcohol into a place and drank the alcohol that you brought with you? How many times have you done that?
Twice.
That's it?
Yeah. Because most of the places I go have the alcohol I need.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, I've done that into like a stadium before, probably, or a concert,
like a Flask or whatever.
Never a restaurant.
Yeah, not into a restaurant. Maybe a movie. I'll take a Flask to a. I've gone Jeez. To the movies with it, and a concert with a Flask, but that's it.
So you're saying twice, but you're saying so one time to the movies. That doesn't sound real, Marcus.
Yeah, maybe more than that, but you know, we're talking a handful, not that many. Again, I pregame quite often.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I party with Marcus. He gets after it. But, you know, we were at a casino. I didn't know that was just your normal Thursday night behavior.
Yeah. It didn't matter where he was.
Right.
He could have been at brunch. He's going to behave the same way.
Exactly. Come on, Applebee's. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Joe will make fun of me about the Jungle Book. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
There's never a shortage of errands for you to run and places you want to go. But the post office isn't one of them.
Driving there, parking, waiting for a clerk, what a hassle. So use stamps.com instead to buy and print real U.S. postage for any envelope or package using your own computer and printer.
Right now, use the promo code RobinJoe for this special offer. A no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale and $55 free postage. Go to stamps.com today, click on the microphone and type in RobinJoe. That's stamps.com, promo code RobinJoe.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Mr. Mayor, this is the police. We've been tracing your emails and found that the email is coming from inside your house.
Good one. So I go on Facebook today because Jungle Book, some movie, it's out. Everyone's seeing it. Great reviews. And it sounds familiar to me, but I'm like, what is this about? Is this something I should know about? Is this like, I feel like I know what this is. I should know, but I don't really know anything about it. And I guess people thought I was kidding. I was really asking a real question. And Joe, you think I'm retarded?
Well, yeah, it's because, and I think I've said retarded in during this show more times than I have in the entire run of the show. So
sorry for saying that word.
Try to avoid that word. But
sorry.
No, I will too. So it's not just that you haven't heard of The Jungle Book, which is, of course, is an iconic children's movie, right, that you would have seen right around the time. You know, I mean, I really don't know many people that didn't see The Jungle Book as a kid. Marcus, you did, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Robbie, you did, right?
Of course.
Okay. And that, so that's, a, you know, that's obviously surprising. However, in addition to that, it is a classic book that several stories have come from, iconic stories have come from, written by Rudyard Kipling, you know, at the turn of the century. I mean,
I've heard of him.
Okay, well, this is the book, right? I mean, this is it. So the idea that you're on Facebook saying, I've never heard of this shit before, it was strange to me, right? It's like, what are you bragging that you don't know?
No, this? I was legitimately asking. It sounded familiar to me, but I was like, is this something that I should know about?
I'm thinking
it
about.
It seemed like people were seeing it as. It seemed like they were seeing it because, oh, they made this into a movie. And, like, they were. I thought it was something from back in the day.
So
I wasn't sure.
You know, and you're somebody who's, yeah, obviously there's some movies that everybody's seen that you haven't seen. But for the most part, you're pretty much up on most pop culture, right? I mean, you're good at that. But this, you not knowing about this, is very similar to some of the things that Scott Apple does in his music quiz.
Well, I could have seen the movie and just forgotten about it. I mean, why is it? That's very possible.
Because it's not just seeing. I mean, it's an iconic movie. It's a Disney movie. It's not like it's just some. It's not Tron. Well, that's a Disney movie. Bad example.
I saw Tron.
Yeah, right. It's there's two places to have known about it. But in addition to that, you know, the story Rikki Tikki Tavi, which is the story of the mongoose who eventually kills this, you know, this. I don't want to. Hey, let me not give it away. But
I don't know that either.
Yeah, no, we were talking about that too. That also comes from the Jungle Book. And Marcus, you've heard of that, correct?
No, that one I skipped on.
Okay, so you haven't. All right, so then maybe I'm crazy. I mean, I literally thought that most people our age would know that story.
Well, I didn't. I've never liked cartoons.
Even as a kid, you were like, no, I would like live action. I don't want to watch cartoons.
No, I think I watched the Smurfs a little bit, Super Friends. But I never really, probably Scooby-Doo, but I've never watched cartoons. I haven't seen any of these Disney movies, Lion King, Little Mermaid. I've never seen any of the Toy Stories. I mean, I just don't watch, never really have paid attention to cartoons. So you're saying, now I remember seeing 101 Dalmatians as a kid, but that's all I can remember.
So there's a couple things. So first of all, that sounds very joyless. To not like cartoons? What the fuck's the matter with you? You don't like cartoons as a kid?
Dislike cartoons. I just never was into it.
So
it's not like people, I say they suck.
Yeah, people don't know.
Cartoon Smurfs is the one to be into.
Right. You saw the worst one. But when we were kids, when Robbie and I were kids, and I think I'm about, what am I, 6 years ahead of you, Rob? Something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
So when we were kids, cartoons came on one time a week for 3 hours. And you had to kind of be like, all right, I got to get to these. I got to get to these cartoons. So maybe it was because it was more of an event. Because to see cartoons was hard to do. Now, right. There's a Cartoon Network. There's Nickelodeon. You could literally watch cartoons all day long if you desire to do that. Plus DVDs and on-demand. And laptops and computers and all these things. So it is much different. I get that. But that would make sense for Katie, not for you, because, again, to see a cartoon was a special event. As a matter of fact, I was talking about this before in the production or whatever, before the show, and you didn't know about this, but this surprises me. Every once in a while, a cartoon would come on at night, like a Charlie Brown one, or Rikki Tikki Tavi is a good example of that. A cartoon would come on at night, and these were called specials. And I remember how magical, because at the beginning, you can probably Google this on you or put this in YouTube. Do you remember, Robbie, at the beginning when it was a special and they had the special would actually like 360 on the screen?
Yes.
And to see that was like, fuck yeah, there's a special coming on.
Yeah, I have no memory of that.
Get to see a cartoon when you're not supposed to see it at night.
It was 8 p.m. prime time, and it was geared towards families and kids.
And that's when you get to see a cartoon. And it's hard for me to think that there's kids out there, are people out there our age that don't know about the movies that were kind of, because see the deal, like the Snow Whites, the Dumbos, the Pinocchios, the Bambis, those are before our time movies. Right.
Right.
Those came out, but I think the Jungle Book is right around. It's got to be. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm going to look it up right now. The Jungle Book is
the Charlie Brown Christmas.
67, Joe.
OK, so a year before I was born and, 7 years before you were born is when it came out. So it's really almost a contemporary movie from when we were children.
Look, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I don't. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just. Look, did you watch Saturday Night's Main Event?
What is that, wrestling?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Watched every one of those. I couldn't wait for that.
Yeah, and it wasn't a cartoon.
Yeah, I watched wrestling.
You know, they had
Saturday
wrestling
night.
Cartoons. You probably hated them.
I never said I hated cartoons. I just, even to this day, I never really watched The Simpsons or Family Guy or any of those shows.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. You're an adult now. I mean, I don't really have an issue with that.
Right.
I wonder if Rob would recognize if he heard the Bare Necessities.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's two huge songs from that movie, The Bare Necessities, and I Want to Be Like You.
Well, let's hear it. Fire it up. Is it on your slow jam?
Is it Robbie? Is there either of them on there?
Here we go.
All you got to do is look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities are Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life.
So, yeah, I recognize
you know,
that.
What's funny is that the theme of that obviously is, you know, listen, just, you know, only... Don't live this life of hard work, or you lead this life of leisure. Just do whatever you have to do, but don't do any more than that. It was about being lazy, and they basically stole the premise of that to put in The Lion King, which you won't understand this because you didn't see that movie either. But Hakuna Matata, which is basically the exact same message in a different song, which is also another great song.
Well, it's also I could have just forgotten all this stuff because I remember sporting events that happened at a kid, but that's pretty much it. I mean, I couldn't name one person I went to school with before my senior year of high school.
Seriously?
Yeah, I couldn't name one. I could name two teachers pre-senior year ever, and I couldn't picture what they looked like. So it was just something nothing was going to stay with me. I just feel like I was just waiting to become an adult. So I could have just experienced this and just completely forgotten about it. Mm. But I do that song, that is familiar to me, yes.
What do you remember from when you were a kid that was a kid thing that you enjoyed? Like, is there anything, because me, like I have a different type of memory. There's probably things that are a lot more important, but I really can remember very vividly, actually a lot, anything from pop culture I have a really good, you know, memory for. But these things or whatever helped shape me, and they did. So, I mean, I guess that's why they're kind of burned in my brain.
Well, I remember playing soccer, playing basketball. I remember, watching Dukes of Hazzard, Fall Guy, A-Team. Mm.
All live action, no cartoons.
Yeah. Cosby Show, Family Ties.
When Robbie and I were, I think we were still living in Cheverly, and so this was in the mid-70s. There was a show that would come on. It was called Wait Till Your Father Gets Home. It might have been when we moved to Anne Arundel County, but it was right in that area. And it was a cartoon that came on at night. It was the first. I don't ever remember anything like it. Robbie, do you remember anything else like that? Do you remember Wait Till Your Father Gets Home?
I do. But yeah, during our formative years, that was the only cartoon that was on primetime.
And we watched it. I think it was only on one season, and we watched the hell out of it. You know why? Because it was a car fucking tune. That's exactly why we watched it.
I don't know. Maybe I'm colorblind, so that's why I don't like cartoons. Maybe that's part of it.
You never watched The Simpsons?
No. I mean, I've seen a few episodes because it's hard not to, but I've never watched it on my own.
I mean, there was a 5-year stretch where the Simpsons was the best show on television.
I'm not saying it wasn't. I just, you know.
Without Saturday morning cartoons, how did you learn how a bill becomes a bill on Capitol Hill or learn how your conjunctions, you know, function?
I watched The Great Space Coaster.
Yeah, me too. But that was actually a show that wasn't on Saturday mornings. That was on, like, the Newsy Review and The Great Space Coaster were shows that came on early morning every day of the week. The weekdays.
I watched Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, that was past my time.
Yeah. Well, you don't know what you're missing. Joe, you came over. You saw the makings of my workout room.
Yeah, I beat you to your house.
Yeah.
You were at BJ's shopping or whatever. Never saw anybody buy. He spent probably spent $200. I think he had $180 worth of granola bars, but that's not what we're talking about right now.
Pretty much, yeah.
So,
good deal.
Well, she's Tawana has given us a tour of the house, and I see a pull-up bar.
Right.
And of course, I'm like, "Whose pull-up bar is that? Who has that?" Right? She goes, "It's Rob's." I go, "Rob does pull-ups?" Now, I'm telling you right now, full disclosure, if I could do two pull-ups, that's the most I can do.
I bet you can do more than that.
I don't think I can, Rob. I'm not kidding. I don't think I can. We'll try, but I don't think that I can. No. And I go, "Rob uses that?" She goes, "Yeah." Like, "Yeah, he does." Like, with confidence. I go, "He does?" Because I know that I couldn't use that as a workout. First of all, I'd be terrified. I'd just crack, bring it tumbling down. But the other thing is I'm not going to get a workout out of that because I can't do it. But she gave me the impression saying it that that's something that you can do. So I want to know, are you doing pull-ups?
Yeah. Now, I used to, back a couple years ago when I actually had some real weight off of me, I got into doing it, you know, several times a day. And I never got super strong, but I'd do like 10. But, you know, I could do 6 now. It's not that great, but apparently it's a lot better than you.
Yeah, my son Joey had a pull-up bar, and he used to sit there and do like 30 pull-ups, which I was like, good Lord. Now, he had good upper body strength, and he weighed about, 84 pounds or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, if you can do 6, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I'm sure if I drop 20 pounds, I can keep doing it. I'll be able to do 10 without too much.
Well, if I did drop 20 pounds, that means that I've been exercising, and then I'm in a different kind of shape than I'm in now.
And we got the elliptical today. That came in.
Yeah, you got – the other thing you have is this machine. I'll do my best to describe it. It'd be almost like if a Stairmaster also had two, like, grips, and they were moving in concert with your feet. That's what you have. It's almost like you're climbing.
It's the Maxi Trainer. You can just Google it. You see the
commercial. Okay, well, I didn't know what that was. So I saw that, and I got on it, and I did it a couple things, and I'm like, I don't think I could do this for maybe, God, no more than maybe 2 or 3 minutes. And then I felt better because that's the thing. I have good endurance. I mean, even when I get on the elliptical now after I've not been on it for a month, I'll do 45, no, stand on my head. Even Katie's like, "Wow, I can't believe you can do that." But that seems like a different thing. And I'm like, God, if he's doing this, that's pretty good. But then you told me you're doing it 1.5 minutes a clip. That's so good. I did feel so bad.
I've done it for 2 minutes twice already today. I've got up to 2 minutes. But yeah, you got to start somewhere, right?
Oh, no, I'm with you, dude. Yeah, it seems hard.
It is hard. Tawana's only doing it for 3. Hey, Caps just scored. Ovechkin up 2-1.
Yeah, I just see that.
Scott Apple, we got to make this happen. You said you talked to Scott. He's willing to do the talk up the record contest game.
Yeah, if you listened last week, Mike O'Mara was doing that where he hits the post. Basically, you take the part of the song at the beginning that doesn't have any words, and you talk until the person starts singing. That's called hitting the post.
Right.
And we were thinking it'd be funny to have Scott Apple do that, and then we started talking about it. Scott, first of all, Scott's willing. He's willing to do it, and I didn't even tell him what we were doing. But I'm a little concerned because one thing, an idea that you had was that we wouldn't tell him who the artist was or the song. Well, if we don't tell him that, I think we're not going to get what we want out of him because he's going to spend some time thinking. He's not going to be able to talk, and so I don't even think he's going to fumble around until he hits it. I think that might backfire on us. I think we do need to let him know.
Okay.
Maybe we let him know the name of the song. He's got to say the artist.
I think it's funnier. Which is funnier? We gave him the name of the song or the name of the artist?
So I'd say the name of the, I'd say it's funnier if he doesn't know the artist. That's what's funny. You don't know the name of the song. Yeah. But like when he thought that, Superstition was Tom Petty, that's hilarious because
we'll give him the name of the song, and then we want to give him, with each song, somebody to talk about. The weather, the Home and Garden Festival here in Annapolis, the Caps in the playoffs, contest, something just to talk it up, and then hit the post.
All right, in.
Robbie?
And so is he, yes.
Do we do this live or are we recording?
I've been thinking about it, and I don't see how we work it out live. I think it's got to be pre-recorded.
Okay. Are we trying to make it a game in that Joe and I guess if he gets it right or how well he does, or it's harder to judge?
No, I think we just got to play him.
Yeah, because I don't know how we can make a game out of it. Does he hit the post? No. And then we both say no. And I mean, he's never going to do it.
But if we pre-record it, there's more opportunities to figure out a game based on how, you know, based on what happens.
Yeah, but if you pre-record it, that's without us, Robbie. Do you want to do that?
Well, I don't see how else to do it because it's going to have to be on Skype. I can't get him to, you know, to the studio. So it's got to be on Skype, and with you guys on there, it's just better if I just do it.
Okay. Yeah, no, he'll do it. Yeah.
Now, Robbie, do you agree we should give him somebody to talk about?
We can based on what the song is, we'll say, okay, you're going to do the weather and here's the name of the song. Just we can give him a little bit of information.
Okay.
Depending on how long the lead-in is.
Somebody on Facebook, I want to see who it was, they think he's going to, for some reason, he's going to kill it. And you know
they don't know what they're talking about.
They might be right. He might just have a sense of music about when it's going to kick in, just a knowledge.
Well, that's ridiculous.
How could there be somebody who doesn't know anything about music? All of a sudden, they're good at this. He doesn't even know. He doesn't know nothing. And now he knows exactly when to stop talking.
You can know about music and not know names of things, names of artists and bands. But you can understand that the song, it's about, the lyrics are about to kick in.
So you think that there's, and I hear what you're saying, it's just, I know you don't believe it either. You don't believe that he's going to be like, you know what? Yes, I know nothing of the greatest artist. Like, I know nothing of the Beatles. I know nothing of the Stones. I know nothing of Stevie Wonder. I know nothing of Marvin Gaye. I know nothing of Smokey Robinson. I know nothing of these people, but I know actual music. Like, you think you can play an instrument? I guarantee you that he cannot.
Well, Valerie Oslan says, who else thinks that? Even though he has no clue what he's doing, Scott slays the talk-ups and Merle Rogers liked it. Look, I'm pulling for him.
Me too. Of course I'm pulling for him. So if he's great at it, that's funnier.
Of course.
What if he's so great at it, he becomes a DJ?
he's hired immediately.
No, at least he has like an internet. We put him on our network, our station, our internet station.
No, if he's great at it, we'll just give him a music show. Yeah,
we'll have him talk up Robbie's sex playlist each night. what's going on this week, Joe? Anything?
We actually have it's good. Our next murder mystery is next weekend at the Arlington Draft House.
Yeah, the 29th, that's Friday night, 7:30, Superhero Homicide. I mentioned the Tony Perkins thing. That will sell out, though, but I'm sure we'll have stories.
Hey, real quick, we don't talk about Dan Ninen much, but he sent out, which I thought was a pretty nice thing, he sent an email out to Kurt saying that he was hiring somebody to do a private gig with him, and it paid a pretty substantial amount of money. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty significant amount of money that it paid. Agreed?
Well, $500. Why don't you just say what it
paid? I guess we can say it. $500 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'm not going to do it, but I'm wondering who did it. I'd love to talk to the person that did that gig.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're out there and you did it, we want to know all about it.
I mean, somebody had to take the gig. I mean, if you're a professional comedian, you can't be turning down $500 gigs.
Because he said in the email, if they're funnier than me, they can headline.
who would take the gig that wasn't funnier than Dan?
Chris or Steve-O. Oh,
can
can't
imagine
say his name.
It was like Chris or Steve-O, Dan Ninen.
That would be the greatest show of all time.
I would pay for that.
Yeah, I would pay $500.
I would pay $500, yeah.
No, I would take the money we've been given in our PayPal and just put it towards that. that's the show, guys. We'll see you next week.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.